Radio Influence, podcasting redefined.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Thursday, May 2nd, and this is another edition of the Landry Football Podcast. May 2nd, as we get post-draft, post-spring practice, spring recruiting going on for the college programs as they look towards class of 2020 and 21 as they're out evaluating players. A lot going on in football that we're excited to keep you up to date on. So we've got a few things to get to today about mini camps, how you evaluate players in mini camp, and how you do things post-draft from a personnel director standpoint, and then certainly keeping you update on what's going on right now. Both the college and NFL game address a few things as well as answer a question or two that we have for you. So if you've noticed on LandryFootball.com what we've got going on, for those of you who haven't checked out the team-by-team, player-by-player evaluation of each team's draft and each player in the draft, we've got that up for you. We've certainly are keeping you up to date with our notebooks every day of what's going on as mini camps are beginning to start. What are the coaches' plans to do with the players in the draft? Now, they plan this prior to the draft when you draft a guy with a plan in mind, of course, but some of those outlay of plans are starting to come into focus, and we've got that information for you in our notebooks. College football, recruiting information, players that are visiting, some that are committing. We've got another big commitment, big-time quarterback class of 2021, think is going to commit to Clemson here on the 5th, which is actually Sunday. So there about Sunday of Monday, that'll be news probably early next week. And again, you'll find out that information on LandryFootball.com. If he does commit to Clemson or wherever, we will certainly have it for you. We're also in the process of breaking down spring practice tape, breaking down college roster. So the plan, in addition to keeping you updated on what's going on and try to put in different features that are interest should be of interest to you on LandryFootball.com, we'll be breaking down as many college rosters as we can and getting you a feel for kind of a preview of the season, how the roster looks post-spring heading into fall. Certainly keeping track of all the transfer information as well inside our notebook. So, you know, the way we like to say it, we mirror in parallel what the college programs and the NFL teams are doing. Having been in those situations, we can do that for you more seamlessly than others who haven't been inside can do. So what we are doing is, you know, you don't get prepared to play your opening weekend in the NFL or college by showing up, of course. There's a lot of preparation that's involved. Well, we do the same thing for each of the programs. So if you're a fan of college football, you're a fan of the NFL, that's what we provide for you. We do have our scouting season special that we're holding on to give you an opportunity to come on board as a member, think and see the game like a coach and a scout so that you're better prepared for the football season than ever before, for your enjoyment, for your pleasure, for your use in any way you want to, fantasy football, little wagers, whatever. You will get a better understanding of the personnel, of the coaching, of the strategy inside the college and NFL game. All right, one of the things that we do, you know, after the NFL season, after the NFL draft, is NFL teams have mini camps. They have rookie camps, orientation, and here's basically what's done. In a rookie mini camp, and I always like to have the rookies in separate and first, because what you do is you're bringing them in, and it's basically nothing more than orientation. They get to know the equipment manager, you get, you know, fitted properly for the right pads, the right helmet, likes, dislikes, spend some time there. Training room. Obviously, there's a dossier on the medical files of all the players, but getting to know the trainer, getting going a regimen and an idea of maybe some past injuries, what needs to be done to help prevent those things in the future and to clean up any issues that may be lingering. They, meaning the trainers, work in conjunction with the strength and conditioning staff to make sure that proper exercises are done to help those things in accordance with keeping a guy healthy and getting him over injuries. So, excuse me, that plan is being put in place during a mini camp. It's an orientation. It's you have a finite number of players. You get more one-on-one attention with the strength coach and the trainers. Now, again, they have a lot of information to both the strength and conditioning staff and the training staff, which works hand-in-hand, by the way. They have a lot of information that is provided by the personnel department, the coaches, on these players. You know, there's a lot of study on where has the player looked best and graded out best at what particular weight. The strength coach, they'll come in, we'll do initial measurements. Okay, people say, well, you don't have to do run 40s and all anymore. We put them through agilities in minicamp. We measure them, we weigh them, we time them, and we do a lot of agilities. And the reason why we do it, this is what you are when you come in. Now, the strength coach and his staff will go through with the players, here's where we think you're best weight-wise. And the player gives his feedback, too, on what he's more comfortable with, where he is more has greater endurance. All of those things are ascertained during this process. But you optimally, in a general sense, want a player as heavy as he can be and as strong as he can be without losing any speed or quickness. So you go through that and you figure out what's the best. And a lot of times, you know, what you do is you take weight off of guys, you take the bad weight off of guys, and then you begin putting on the good weight. So by the time you're done with mini camp, there is a complete game plan, a book that they go home with that's a Bible of what they need to do every day in terms of nutrition, in terms of exercise, in terms of sleep habits, a lot of things that are given to them that is going to help them be prepared to be at their physically optimal best as they prepare for coming back for training camp in the next mini camp when the veterans are there. The other thing that is done in great detail is the time that they spend players with their position coach and the coordinators. So here's how it's done. They spend a lot of time in the classroom going through film sessions of, as a position group, here's what we do in our individual drills, and here's why we do it, and here's how it translates to the success of what we're going to do on the field. So this is what it may be drills that they're familiar with. In some cases, it may be drills that they're not as familiar with. Those are things that you spend a lot of time focusing on and getting guys comfortable with and understanding. You also and you do that in walkthroughs on the field. You also spend a lot of time in the film room going over exactly your installs, what is your defensive back, this is our base coverages, and this is what we play off of that, and here's our checks. You go through things, and, you know, the running backs, here's your protection responsibilities. Here's our blocking scheme up front, what you need to know as a back, and here's the patience level that we're looking for here on this play versus that play. Here's the route concepts coming out of the backfield. All of those things are taught the way you want them taught in your organization so that a player can go there. You provide them with the proper material, notebooks, how to take notes, how to look at film. You'll spend extra time with the players in addition to the meetings to show them if you feel like they, quote-unquote, need tutorial help. If it's somebody that hasn't really learned how to properly look at film, may look at film, but you have to know how to look at film. and you may spend extra time with them in tutorials to get them to better understand how to break down film. You have to know how to break down. You could spend 8 hours breaking down film and only get 1 hour's worth of value out of it if you don't know how to utilize it. So what we want to do is make sure that every second that you're spending looking at film, you're doing it the right way, through the right lens, looking at the right things. And then we want you to spend the 8 hours on it so that you really can get some productive use. So economization of time and the utilization of what to look for equals a good football student. You try to put those habits in play. And then, of course, you take them out on the field and you go through walkthroughs. You have simulated practices. You have tempo. You have paces. Here's what we do. Here's what you need to be dressed for, how you need to be taped in the training room. This is what you need to be doing in the first stage of practice. You may be involved in special teams practice. You may not be. If you're not, you still need to be involved mentally. You still need to understand. You may be called into duty even though that's not the initial plan, so you need to be mentally prepared. All of that is done in a 48-hour period, 2-3-day period to economize the learning in a short time frame of what the expectations are. When a player leaves that weekend, he has a complete book given to him of nutrition do's and don'ts, what's expected of them there, what's expected of them in terms of their workout regimen in the weight room, cardio, all of that, and then what is expected of them in terms of film review. Now, the great thing about modern day technology is you can take that film review and you can put it on iPads. And what you can do, even though you're limited the amount of time with the CBA, the amount of time you can spend with them, it's responsibility of the position coach to make contact with that player once he leaves minicamp and say, okay, we're gonna communicate and we're gonna talk about, you know, you're gonna tell me what you've learned and what you've seen on the tape that we've given you. And you're gonna coach me back. We're going to see how much you studied. And the best way to do it is to not say, hey, look, we're going to do it on Tuesday, where you can kind of crash course. We pick up the phone and say, hey, you need to be available to me, and we need to get together, and boom. And then you ask them questions, and they better have the answer. They better know. And if there's certain things that they, you know, when they teach it back to you, that you feel like, boy, they've got A, B, and C, but X, Y, and Z, they're not getting it. And that's when you start to get a feel for, okay, he's not as comfortable with X, Y, and Z. Why? Did they not run it? Is it new to him? You need to spend more time on it. So then you can send them some drills that can see on tape that can really explain it a little bit better. And again, this is why guys who have a great love for the game, a great willingness to learn, as I always say, and then the capacity to learn and retain, those are the ones that can pick things up. They're better prepared come camp time. So it is important that when they get done with mini camp, that it is on. I mean, it is full on. They better be every day doing everything from a nutrition, everything from a cardiovascular, a weight training standpoint to get in the optimal shape. And they better be spending time on the iPad learning what they need to learn, or else it's going to decrease their chances of either making it or having an impact, an early impact. You have an expectation level of, here are the things that you need to know cold when you come back in the next time. Because let me explain how it's going to be. When you come in with the veterans, you're not going to have as many reps. Okay? So if you're not ready to compete and perform and execute very effectively with the reps that you do have, you're not going to make it. You're going to have a hard time. So you better be prepared. And so you give them that expectation. And what you need to do, again, is follow up, kind of like, here's what you need to learn this semester in class, in school. Well, these are the quizzes every week that are going to get you on course to where if you ace all the quizzes, then the final test is basically a conglomeration of all of that. So you better be passing the quizzes in every time you talk. So it is a busy all-football world for the coaches and the players. Now, you communicate and have some personnel meetings. I always did with coaches about, okay, tell me the feedback that you're getting from your players as you're doing your phone coaching, as we call it. And now you can do it with the, the Skype, the video conferencing stuff. So you can really see, kind of really look into their eye a little bit. It's very advanced, you know, obviously, over the years, since things progressed over the years. And you want to have updated meetings from a coaching standpoint, from a player personnel standpoint. Who's picking things up? Who needs some extra work? Now, you might need to spend, hey, you're behind, and you're 3 weeks into this since you've left minicamp, and you're not ready to come back to minicamp. So we're going to spend time every day, and this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to send you an assignment. You need to learn it, and we're going to go through it the next day, and we're going to do it again. If we got to do it twice a day, we'll do it. You will spend as much time as we need you to spend learning this as much as possible. There's limited contact that you can have in talking football with some of these guys. As part of the CBA, there are ways to get around it. And trust me, if you don't do the best job of getting the information in their hands and having them communicate, you're going to have an issue. So, yeah, I know people may say, and I could already see the questions coming in, hey, I thought they was limited. They couldn't talk football here or there. Yeah, that's right to a point. There are ways around that. And this is pro football, and you better be prepared to do it. And get the job done. And from a player standpoint, from a coach standpoint. The other thing that you want to do after the draft that is very, very useful is from a general manager, upper management standpoint, you got to evaluate all your draft procedures. You got to grade your scouts, how good of a job that they did. It's also the time that you go back because you don't know how well the grades of their players will pan out over the next several years. This is also the time I used to evaluate, were they organized? Did they express themselves well? Did they write the reports clearly enough? Were they clear in their grades? Meaning, were their verbiage and their grades not matching up as well? You've heard me discuss that. Those things need to be evaluated. Not whether they're right or wrong about a player. That will be determined several years down the road. But did they do their jobs well in writing reports? Same thing with evaluating coaches. Did the capologist guy do their job in help in draft preparation? But it's also the time to go back over your scouts, scouting reports of 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago, and see how those grades panned out with the players that they graded. How accurate were they? And are there any trends? Are they struggling to evaluate defensive backs? Are they struggling to evaluate another position? Are they really weak at evaluating players at a certain school? Are they weak in general in certain areas? It's important to identify. Some scouts have a better feel for evaluating certain positions than others. They have a background in coaching. I liked all my scouts to have one. They may be a little stronger at some positions than others. But it's not always what you think. Sometimes a guy that's a linebacker coach by trade is awful grading linebackers because he's too hard and he's looking for finished products and he's overlooking the traits that a player has and not really getting the fact that this guy could be the better player once you teach him. And he has the capacity to learn, the willingness to learn, and he has the traits to be really good. So sometimes they look at the finished product and talk about, you know, technique, this. The technique is going to be a byproduct of a few things, right? Who taught them that technique? So what they're asked to do. That's your job to know as a scout and combine all that information to know this is how they teach it there. So we're not downgrading them for the bad technique if they're not being taught the way we like it taught, as long as the kid has a really good work ethic. if the kid's smart and he has a work ethic, he should be able to execute whatever technique he's being taught at his school. And if he's doing that, he's doing his job. If you don't like the technique, that's not on the player. That's on the coach. You can improve that and change that. So you have to evaluate how your scouts evaluated players. If they are poor at a particular position, then you need to get them together, and there needs to be time where that scout needs to spend time with our position coach at that position to get a better feel for, hey, look, you haven't done as good a job evaluating safeties or linebackers. You need to spend time, and you need to figure out why. What have you missed? And so I would have them spend time looking at film and working with our coaches to make sure, and working with me to explain why there's a consistency in their misses. Okay? Got to fix it. And with coaches, same thing. That you don't grade them on necessarily how well they scout, but you also will, you know, because the guy's a great coach, you're not going to fire him because he can't evaluate players all that well. That's what you got your personnel side to have. But, you know, I required our coaches to basically go into a little bit of scout training every offseason too, in a little bit of free time that they have, so that they can become better at in describing what they want, in describing what the player has, in describing the traits, and making sure we get the players with the right traits, not just the finished product, as I was saying, the understanding of that. The cap guy, his role, did he have the information needed? Did he have everything organized the way I needed it to from a draft preparation standpoint, from a cap standpoint? I go over that. Pro personnel director, his role in the draft, did he have everything I needed in terms of combining how a NFL player's grade matches up versus a college grade's and the comparison? Was he prepared in having all the information available as I needed it for every team in the league, so for potential trade talks pre-draft and during the draft? You go over them and say what you need better from the pro personnel department to improve upon come draft time. Then your college director, the guy that's overseeing all the scouts. Do we have a weakness in the area? Okay, yeah, as we try to get those scouts improved and say we got a little bit of a weakness in one region, well, then what we need to do, but the guy's still a good scout and he's learning, he's getting better. Remember, it takes 5 full years as a scout in the league before you have any reliable scouting acumen whatsoever, which is why I always laugh when people who've never scouted think they know how to evaluate players. People who scout in the league for 3 and 4 years don't know what they're looking at. It takes a good 5 years, a 5-year cycle at a minimum, to really know how to evaluate players correctly and grade players correctly as it projects to the draft. So let's say you got maybe some younger guys, you probably already have more cross-checkers in that area. What we mean by that is you just don't rely on just one scout's evaluation in one area. Now, that's exactly what we did when I was with Houston and Tennessee. We didn't have cross-checkers. We were just 4 people in the personnel department, re-ran the draft. We ran the draft for Florida, and our one grade was the only grade we had on them. And that's not the way you do it. That's the way we had to do it because of the budgetary restrictions. Unfortunately, we were very, very good, and we were very consistent. And but that's not the way you want to do it, particularly in today's world where there's less and less experienced guys that come from a coaching and scouting background. You need to make sure that you cross-check them. So you work with your college director. He has to work closely with improving a scout's ability to understand the critical factors and evaluating the critical factors and working, again, as I said, with the coaches to maybe improve a certain position. You got maybe a problem in an area. Okay. Maybe that guy just doesn't have enough. And one of the reasons why 5 years is critical is it takes that long to really get to know not only who can play and the traits that make it in the league and which ones fail, but it also takes time to develop. Can you imagine this? Like if you're a salesperson, when you go on a route, you get to know people, you develop, you know, friendships and relationships with people, and it's a little bit easier to, you know, get the right information so that you can sell. Well, it takes a while to get into a school and to know the people that you can trust. Now, coaches may change at colleges, but rarely do trainers change and equipment men change. takes a while to get to develop relationships so that you can find out the type of information. So maybe you're coming short on background information in the school because maybe you got someone, because he's only been there 2-3 years, he doesn't have quite the contacts to get anything more than just the standard stuff. You got to be able to dig deep and know that. So experience, like any reporter or anybody like that, you've got to work with that. So as the guy is learning and growing, you have other people that also go into that school at a different time so that you're not overlapping with the same visit, but you can go a little bit later where you got different film exposures as well, but you're also getting more information. Sometimes one guy doesn't get the information that you need. Maybe gets a little bit different information. He talked to a different guy. So we find out from there, okay, we got the right information, but we got it from the second guy. And the reason why we got it from the second guy is because it really comes from this guy on the staff at XYZ school. And the first guy doesn't have quite the relationship with that guy. Then we need to make sure that as a college director that these are the guys we need to be talking to when we go into school X, Y, and Z. And so you work on ways to improve. It's quality control work to get done. How do you delegate these issues? This is what we call scouting the scouts and scouting the front office. This is how you get better, and this is the time to do it. But you do it not only, okay, how could we do a better job in the meetings because you just got out of the meetings. Here's what we can do a better job during draft day because we just got out of that. But it's also a time to go back and always had our college directors go back their responsibility of scouting the scouts and seeing how they graded out players from 4 or 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and so that you can see how well they did and then compare that up against how did the coach evaluate them? How did the pro personnel guy and how the college director graded them? This is a way to look and see. Now, you college director, you always want to make sure that if he's doing the evaluation of the scouts that you're – having somebody else over the top that's also looking at it to make sure that the college director is not always saying, yeah, I had this guy right. You need to know, this is what the grades were. And you can't hide from your grade. Once they're in the report, you can't do like they do on TV and say, yeah, we really like that guy better than this or that. No, your grade is what you put in. That's the Bible. That's there for all eternity, how you graded a guy. So that helps you to really evaluate. And it's not like maybe people think. Sometimes you go back and look, and the success of players may not be with your team. The player may go somewhere else because you decided not to pay them. It didn't mean you didn't evaluate them correctly. It just means that you maybe made some decisions that were either the right decision to not overpay the guy, or maybe it was the wrong decision, you should have paid him. That's where you go back and you make some decisions and you evaluate the cap guy and what the recommendations were for them. You also go back and study medical grades. How many medical grades were given by the trainer, by the team doctors, that maybe dinged a player that ended up playing in the league for a long time? If there's a pattern of that, we got to sit there and look at it and say, look, we got a pattern of ACL injuries that we are dinging them and giving them medical grades of a 3, and they're all playing in the league. Something's wrong. We need to look at that. We need to look at how we're grading them. Or, we're not as tough, and we are missing issues and not tough enough on one injury. So it's not just how the medical grades are given in general, but specifically as it relates to the injury, are they misevaluating it? Are they being a little too cautious in what we call the CYA business? Or, are they maybe being a little too lenient? All that needs to be evaluated, or else you're going to continue to make the same mistakes. You got to find ways to get better. You're either getting better or you get worse. So evaluating scouts and evaluating personnel is what you want to do. It's also the time where, based on these evaluations, you might make scouting changes. You may add somebody to the staff. You may fire somebody. In all honesty, with scouts, because you can have more guys and you don't get in each other's way as much, sometimes you can add scouts to the staff, put them in position. Maybe they're experienced in the league, so they are not one of those people that needs another 5 years because maybe they've been scouting in the league for 10 years, a dozen years. They can come in. You put them in an area. Maybe you replace a guy that you have. Maybe you pair him up with another scout that maybe is a little bit young that you think's really good and has talent, but it's just not enough experience. If you've got an owner that's willing to allow you the money to do that and double up and have more scouts, that's the best way to do it. If you don't, like I've been involved in, then you've got to cut the cord with some people and just get better people and more experienced people and proven people and go in that direction. But this is where you make decisions on your college director, your pro director, your scouts. It's also the time of year where you really look hard at your training staff. Now, your training staff needs to be evaluated in two folds. How do they do with your current players on your team, getting them over injuries, and your strength staff and conditioning staff, your strength coach? They need to be evaluated on how they do during the season as well, getting your players ready, avoiding injuries, so on and so forth. So the decisions on a new strength coach and a new trainer, that probably should come in an earlier time frame, like in January, along with the coaching hiring cycle. But sometimes you can make that change if you want to at this time. It is not the best time in the off-season conditioning program to have a complete new strength staff, but sometimes with the trainers you can do that. Maybe you got a really good strength coach or trainer that you want to add, but you keep your other guy. Maybe you bring one in transition. There are different ways you can do it, but you don't want to get caught with your pants down in the off-season program and making those massive changes at this point. So, but you do the evaluation, and you also have to evaluate how they did helping you in the draft process. But the majority of their work is going to be evaluated on what they do during the season with your players. But evaluating all of this personnel is key, and particularly as it relates to some of these moves, this is where you make the moves and you get this done. And you really want to get it done through the month of May. You get into June, you're a little bit late on making some of these moves. Now, you can hire a veteran scout that maybe needs less training and grooming, and he could probably come in June, maybe as early July if you need be. But you'd ideally like to get them in. You'd like to have them come in, have them attend your mini camps, have them go through your grading system, and if there's any modifications, so you may have a grading system, the numerical grades may differ a little bit, but the meanings are just the same. You need to make sure that he is up to speed with your college director. How are you going to grade guys, and how to transcribe grades from, say, last year to this year's number so that you can grade him on how he did this past year, 2-3 years from now, based upon how it transcribes to your current grading system as opposed to, you know, the team he was with before. So those are the things that you try to do this time of year to get your front office in your scouting department and your salary cap and everything involved. Those are the people that you're going to make decisions, in my opinion, on your coaches, your trainers, and your strength coach at the end of the season. You might make some modifications to the training and your strength staff now. The scouts, which includes the pro director, the college director, the pro scouts, the college scouts, the salary cap guy, you want to make those changes now if you're going to make them. Whether it's to augment what you have, change what you have, you want to do them now. Because the major bulk of their jobs have already been completed, so they can be properly evaluated. And if there's an issue, then you got to fix it right now. You can't be fixing it while you're in the middle of the process. You can't fix a coaching move during the season other than maybe restructure some. You can fix some things coaching-wise during the season, but you don't see people hiring coaches during the season to replace. What you see is maybe a promotion within the staff, reorganization of responsibilities, because you got to fix it internally. Well, you do some of that as well during the scouting season by reorganizing responsibilities, but you can't really make the scouting changes and the front office changes then because you can't go get somebody else's at that time, and you really need to create some stability and just, you know, reshuffle responsibilities to get you through that process as seamless as possible through that period, that free agency and draft period, then this is where you want to change those situations right now so that you have time to implement the new philosophies, the new systems in place, so that when you get going at training camp, everybody has been settled. They found their homes. They're not in transition, and you're ready to go. And so this is how you want to do it. So hope that gives you an idea of what goes on right now this time of year from a front office standpoint. Now, going to answer some questions today. We've got one. Richard always wants to know about somebody that's on TV. What's your assessment of Daniel Jeremiah as a scout? I didn't work with Daniel. The scouting report on him, he's a really good guy, good personality, wasn't a real strong evaluator in his time in Philadelphia and Baltimore, but was a young guy, didn't work at it very long. So he didn't really had he worked at it longer, he perhaps could have been developed, but he was a young guy that was kind of working in their office, and he was a good and getting background information, but he didn't have a lot of experience in it, and he didn't have a lot of background in evaluating, and certainly didn't have any coaching background, so he had limitations. He's more of an information gatherer, which is, you know, serves him well in his TV role. What was your assessment of Bill Tobin as a general manager? Bill was one of the very best. Bill was outstanding for years. He was the main guy in building those great Bear teams. He worked under Jim Finks. He was the guy that really, though, ran the drafts. All those great drafts, all those Ditka teams that they had and building, it was Tobin. Tobin was the main guy. He was a really good evaluator of talent. He was no nonsense. He was demanding. He was thorough. I had relationships with him as a college coach when he came on campus, when he was evaluating players, very impressed with what he did. And then I had experience with him as a scout, working with both Blesto, which the Bears were a member, and as well as a scout for other teams. I saw how well he did it. He was a dyed-in-the-wool football guy that was a coach and a scout and knew the game from that perspective. So he wasn't the old telephone scouts. He wasn't the Gil Brandt type of guys that he just lived off of other people's information. He came in, he had his report, and he had his justification for why the guy was good, and he held his scouts accountable. And he trained a lot of really good scouts. So I thought Bill was one of the absolute best. Did a great job in Chicago. And look at the job that he did in Indianapolis. You know, before Jim Mora and Bill Polian got there, they had left them in pretty good shape in a lot of areas. Now, they cleaned out some of those older guys and started over with Peyton and all that, but and so they did a great job in their own right. But look at Bill had them in the conference championship game, remember, against Pittsburgh. Really, really good teams that he had. Okay. Richard S. also, what were your thoughts on Mike Mayock? Said he made the right decision to send the scouts home after the leak, when in fact on your podcast like week you said Mayock was the one that leaked to the people on the NFL Network. Richard, I mean, what do you expect a guy like that to do? He's not going to come in and say, yeah, I you know, I made a mistake. He's going to spin it the way that makes him look best, and he's not alone in that. Everybody seems to do that. There's no question that Mike leaked it to the people that he wanted to, his friends at the NFL Network. And look, he's going to have to, you know, he got to do what he's got to do. But there's no question he was the one that leaked it. And I can tell you that a lot of people in the league, scouts that were on the staff that were contacted by media folks, some talked and some didn't, but that's not where the story emanated from. So I don't know if there was a leak inside there or not. As I said, it was not really about the leak. The leak was code for the scouts that we had, the a dozen or so scouts, didn't really have a lot of respect for me, and they weren't my guys that, you know, that I could control. These other guys were in many cases more, well, all in every case was all more experienced than he was, and that's led to it. So look, personality conflicts happen, and there often leads to change. Every one of those guys had far more background than Mike. Organizationally, I don't know that they were more organized, and maybe some may not be as hardworking as Mike. I mean, you have to work with those guys to truly know, but they all had more experience in scouting players. And no, the years that Mike did TV work is not the same as what you do inside a team. It's a completely different job. But the bottom line is they were able to use the scouts' reports to decide. And there's no mistake that this was John Gruden and his coach's draft. Mike just organized it. Mike didn't make the picks. John Gruden did. Mike will love to tell you and love to say it's Mike Mayock and John Gruden's draft. That's like saying it's Bill Belichick and Nick Cesario's draft. It's not. It's Bill Belichick running things. It's John Gruden running things in Oakland. For better or for worse, that's the way it is. So hopefully that answers your question there. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to get to as the days and weeks come ahead. We certainly are open to discuss anything football-wise, so send us a question at Contact Chris, and we'll get to it here. We're going to continue to, again, break down college rosters, NFL rosters, and we'll be giving you some insights into what's going on around the college game and trying to give you a better feel for how things are going through the process. In the college game right now, we're going to get to some of that early next week about what the college coaches are doing, why they're doing it, and how they prepare for their football season and what they're doing in May and June and July. And in August before the fall practices start. So we'll keep you up to date and kind of take you inside the world of college football and the NFL as we do all the time. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week for another edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com. See you over at LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at Landry Football. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
This is a Sitting Ringside with David Penzer quick fix on Radio Influence.
This week on Sitting Ringside, going to do a little Q&A. Got your questions through Twitter. Thank you for asking them. I'm going to talk about my favorite match in WCW. Going to talk about an interesting airplane ride with Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. A little insight into the tough man they call Ming. Also going to talk about my least favorite gimmick match to announce and the most exciting announcement I ever made as a new WCW or TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Then we're going to bring Stevie Ray on, doing his first appearance anywhere since being inducted into the Hall of Fame, giving us an overview of the entire Hall of Fame experience directly from the man himself. It should be interesting stuff. Never talk to a Hall of Famer to go through the whole day by day, hour by hour of the Hall of Fame induction. Looking forward to that. Be sure to download and listen wherever podcasts are found and subscribe if you can.
Sitting Ringside with David Penzer can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.